You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
This is the Classic Auto Mall Show. Broadcast from the studios inside the Classic Auto Mall in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. Just 1 hour west of Philadelphia at Pennsylvania Turnpike Exit 298. Featuring nearly 1,000 classic, vintage, and barn find vehicles for sale under one climate-controlled roof. Now, here's your host, Classic Auto Mall President and the man with all the toys, Stuart Howden.
Here we are once again, show number 136.
Oh, my goodness, Greg.
For us.
We are so not any better at this than we were.
Sure we are.
135 shows ago. No, we've gotten a lot better, and we're graphically very pleasing now.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful YouTube channel.
Yeah. We got new signage in the front of our studio here. And
new coasters.
New coasters. Because we're show radio or podcast radio and
YouTube.
And YouTube. So
right.
We're on all those different places. So if you catch us on YouTube, you'll actually get to see us and see pictures of the cars that we're talking about or the things that we're talking about. So it's kind of cool to be able to watch it in that format as opposed to just listening to it on a podcast site, which is great. I mean, you just don't get that visual. You have to visualize.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't creative in your mind.
You don't have to stare at us.
No.
During the video, you can actually
well,
see
that's
it.
A plus.
We're hoping to get some guests on soon.
Is that why there's no camera in here?
Right.
Yeah, face for radio.
There's a reason for everything, JR. So show number 136, we've probably had, out of those shows, probably 80 or 90 guests, I would guess. And I was going through the list the other day because we've got a new person helping us out with some bookings, to get some really interesting guests in. So we'll have some exciting announcements to make in the future and, be listening out. Next week is, a gentleman from the Piston Foundation, which is a, charity is probably not the right word for it. Anyway, it's a educational thing for kids to learn about working on cars.
Yeah, nonprofit.
Nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm trying to think.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said charity. Charity sounds
charity,
like
nonprofit.
Yeah,
same thing.
Same difference. So,
yep.
Thanks to the Pat Travers Band for our theme song as usual. And also, you can catch us, as I said earlier, on the Real Radio, the Real Live Radio. We're part of the Beasley Media Group.
We are.
From One Bala Kenwood, right?
Yes.
WWDB Talk 860, we're on. And then, of course, that thing where y'all are lying to me about the FM 97.5. Still haven't found it. JR, thanks for the article, but I just
didn't. It shows him how to use the HD in his car.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Really made me feel less bright.
Randy had to send me a pictorial outline of how to do it. I don't have it in my car. They're too old.
And if you think you might have HD in your car and want us to tell you how to use it, podcast at classicautomall.com.
We'll send you the instructions.
We'll send you instructions on how to do it. So, new inventory.
Right. New arrivals.
New arrivals. Yeah, I keep saying inventory. I don't
know
why. That's
all right. It's stuck in your brain.
It's in my brain. I can't help it. 956 in
uh-oh.
Classics.
Don't panic. We're under 1,000.
Yeah, although we had yesterday and the day before were really good consignment days. The weather has picked up or gotten better, and there's clear skies, which means that guys are more apt to bring their cars in. You know, it's funny. Inclement weather doesn't hurt the sales because the guy's usually in Arizona or Texas and he could care less what it's doing.
It doesn't rain on the internet.
It doesn't rain on the internet. There's something to that, right?
So true.
I should write that down. It doesn't rain on the internet.
It never rains in
Southern California.
Rain.
On the internet.
It never rains on all the internet.
Okay, this is not a free form.
He wants a camera in there. He's lucky he has a microphone, frankly.
Exactly.
I'm just vamping while you're writing.
Just writing, but I could have talked and wrote it.
Musical interlude.
A musical interlude. So, where do we sell vehicles to this week?
Okay, you want
to
do that?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
How about Macungie, Pennsylvania, Oxford, Pennsylvania, Phoenix, Arizona, Newburgh, Maryland, McKinney, Texas, Tarare, France, Lisbon, Connecticut, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Quakertown, Pennsylvania, Westchester, Pennsylvania, Burbank, California, West Mifflin, Pennsylvania, Collegeville, Pennsylvania, Lubbock, Texas, Fairfield, Pennsylvania, Lansing, Tennessee, Baltimore, Maryland, where was that? Horrigan, Germany, Riverside, California, Shawnee, Oklahoma, Yalesville, Connecticut, Lincoln University, Pennsylvania, Hamburg, Pennsylvania, Spencer, Iowa, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, York, Pennsylvania, and Draper, Utah. I don't think we've ever sold it. We may have sold one to Utah before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. And then I don't, maybe one or two to Iowa. We've covered every state except Hawaii. We've sold to Alaska.
Wow.
We've sold to some of the territories, but I think Hawaii is the only one that we've missed out of those. North Dakota was a tricky one. It took a while to get a North Dakota.
You got it, though.
Yeah, we finally checked that off the list.
St. Thomas, St. Croix?
No, we have not. So
Puerto Rico, I think.
Puerto Rico,
we have.
We've sold to Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico,
Rico. So, it's funny. You sell a lot of cars right around this area, too, which is interesting because this is such a car culture in this part of the world. That, there's a reason a lot of consignments come from here is there's a lot of car guys. And I just talked to a guy yesterday, 60 cars he has, and he's ready to start ready to thin the herd. It's, he just turned 80, and he's in great health, and he feels good, and it's all full steam ahead. However, he's thinking, maybe it's time to start this process here because – if I wait another 5 years and what if my health deteriorates and I'm not in good shape to do this, then I'm going to leave a huge burden on my family. And so that's something that we help you with, estate planning and things like that, where, what to line out for these things. And the answer is everything. Who's going to clean the cars? Who's going to go run to Napa and get batteries? Who's going to make sure that they run? And if they don't run, who's going to fix them? And how much are we going to spend on these things? And should we spend money on them or should we just leave them as is? So all of these things need to be addressed, and they're not.
Right. I mean, it's sad. It's a sad fact of the business or the hobby is that you get to a certain age, and it's either time to thin the herd, or I got, a Corvette last week, and they're just having a hard time getting in and out of it.
Yeah, hard time getting in and out of it.
That happens a lot.
Or downsizing in their home size, and now they don't have a 3-car garage. They have a 1-car garage.
Exactly.
And so a lot of things change, but whatever you do, don't take less than 60 for the vet is not your estate planning. grab your wife and pull her down on your deathbed and say that to her.
No, have a plan, especially if you have a collection of 60. You really got to be organized.
Even if you have a collection of 10.
Yep.
And part of the problem is that I joke about that, whatever you do, don't take less than. But that happens a lot where dad has an unreal – and I say dad, I mean whomever owns the collection. I'm not trying to be gender specific or not neutral, whatever. But don't leave people thinking something that may not be realistic. Like you don't want to, don't put ridiculous prices on your cars because you think that, I want to show them that I did great. I paid $10,000 and sold it for $20.
Yeah.
Put the realistic price on it because then what happens is when it's time to sell, you put your heirs in a uncomfortable position. Now they're saying, God, we don't want to dishonor so-and-so's wishes because he said or she said or they said it was going to be $20,000 and you're offering me $10,000 for this car. Well, that's what the market is now. And, the market changes good and bad for these old cars. Sometimes it goes up significantly. Sometimes it's net neutral and sometimes it goes down
sometimes
in value.
Sometimes it does, yeah.
So it's hard to predict that. So just make a plan, but make a good, thorough plan. Don't just, called Bill and he'll take care of it for you. And there's more to it than that.
Absolutely.
So, and same with your anything that you have as an inheritance, whether it's antiques or jewelry or vehicles or boats or whatever it is you happen to collect, watches, anything like that.
I'm not an estate attorney, but I think it's if you sell it to somebody for a dollar before you, God forbid, you pass, then there's some kind of probate taxes and stuff that you save on. But Don't tell us more, Steve. Don't listen to me.
Come on. Contact
your local probate attorney.
Tell us more, please. Come on.
Steve Seffier is not a lawyer.
Disclaimer.
Yeah. I have to disclaim everything we say here practically. We should just do a blanket disclaimer on everything that we say here.
We're not experts.
We're not experts. Stuart's going to repeat himself numerous times. You've probably heard these stories. I can't remember if I told him, if I was just thinking them or I told them.
Yeah, right.
All right, Homer. Homer does that. Did I think that or did I say it?
Yeah. I don't know sometimes. Right. And it's hard to remember. I don't see how these guys that are on 5 days a week, like Letterman or Carson. I mean, I know they have a lot written out, but they ad-lib a lot of it as well, too. And you wonder, how often do they repeat themselves?
Right.
I mean, do you watch every minute of every day of their show? No. So you don't know for certain if they've repeated something or not, but how do they know not to repeat something?
They have a team. They have a team of people, more than four.
Yeah, well, that's true. Four counting me. So, some of the new classics in our stable this week.
And are these your favorites ranked? Then I think we should do
the classic countdown.
Get approval on that, Kirk. Let's check with them.
Yeah. So some of the new arrivals. How about the 1969 Fiat 850 Fastback Coupe? Ooh. I've never seen one of these.
Me either.
It's really cool. English green over saddle. It was a feature car in Hemmings Sport and Exotic magazine a few years back in 2013, I believe. Garage cap, rebuilt 903cc inline four. Got the original interior. And this thing, the guy found it in a Penny Saver magazine.
Yep.
Now, for those of you who are young and don't know what a Penny Saver is, that was our Facebook Marketplace, our Craigslist, our place that we bought and traded and sold used items from people. I mean, I can remember going through the Penny Saver or the Bargain Mart or whatever it
Nifty,
was.
We had Nifty Nickel.
Nifty Nickel.
Yeah.
And you find everything. There was cool things in there. I mean, just.
And cars, lots of cars.
Lots of cars. Yep. And this was before, you know, back in the day in the newspaper, when you get the newspaper, there would be a section for antique and classic cars.
Yep.
And it would only be maybe six or seven cars total, whereas the section of regular cars would be pages and pages and pages.
Right, with all the dealerships.
With all the dealerships and all that advertising in there as well, too. But the antique and classic was kind of cool. And if you were very ahead of the curve, you would pick, if you were going to do like a classic car auction, you would advertise in the classified section of all the newspapers within 150 miles, and it's very affordable, but very effective.
Yeah, it was pennies.
Because if you were looking for a classic car or in the market for one, you always went to that section in the newspaper.
Yep.
And, of course, in the newspaper before the Bargain Hunter was the place. I mean, if you look at the classified section of newspapers in the 1930s and 40s, I mean, they are sections, a whole section, 20 pages, real estate and cars for sale and tractors and
pigs.
People
with their phone number and their address. It was wide open.
Come on over.
Yeah, come on over, check it out. Different society.
I have a 22-carat diamond for sale, and come to our house and check it out.
Yeah.
So.
Different world, man.
Yes. When we return, we'll continue discussing our new arrivals here at the Classic Auto Mall. Check us out on the web, classicautomall.com. If you have a question for the show, podcast at classicautomall.com. We'll see you in a minute.
The Classic Auto Mall is like going to the greatest indoor car showroom in the country. With more than 1,000 classic and collectible vehicles for sale via consignment in our 8-acre climate-controlled showroom, we've got something for everyone. We're open to the public most days. Plus, you can easily search our inventory online at classicautomall.com. Buying and selling via consignment is safe, easy, and secure. Plus, we advertise, sell, and ship worldwide. Find your dream classic vehicle at classicautomall.com.
Ever since the first time you saw it, perhaps even as a child, you knew you wanted one. Now, you're at a point in your life where you have the means to buy and keep one. Your significant other is even in agreement. But where and how can you find one? And trust you know as much as you can about it before the purchase. That's why there's ClassicAutoMall.com. 1,000 classic vehicles of almost every conceivable make, model, and year. All under one climate-controlled roof. You can visit and look to your heart's delight. Or do everything online from the comfort of your own home. Shipping nearly everywhere worldwide. Classic Auto Mall can make your dream come true. Visit the World Wide Web at classicautomall.com.
When it comes to car magazines, are you tired of reading about mega-dollar collector cars you can't afford, or endless reporting on auctions and how-to tech stories that don't interest you? Then Crankshaft is the car magazine for you. Crankshaft is a 144-page softcover quarterly filled with all sorts of fascinating stories, the type of car features you won't find anywhere else. It features American and foreign cars, pre- and post-war era cars of distinction including sports cars, muscle cars, and regular family sedans too. To discover what many car enthusiasts are saying is the best car magazine ever published, you can purchase either a single copy for $12.95 plus $3 postage, or a one-year subscription, four issues, for $59.95. To order your copy, go to www.crankshaftmagazine.com. That's www.crankshaftmagazine.com.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
I love that commercial. That's a great job, JR. We love that. And it makes us sound cool and very sophisticated and very otherworldly somewhat.
Yeah, it's like a movie. It's like a movie.
It's very thematically cool.
It's as if he has some kind of voiceover experience or
done that
talent.
Once or twice.
Yeah.
Aren't you supposed to put a T on the end of them?
I think so.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
So. All right. So are we continuing with the
Classic Countdown?
Your favorite car, your favorite new arrivals.
Go ahead.
Yes. Thank you. Gosh. Yes. How about the 1956 Chevrolet Bel Air two-door gasser?
Yes. Excuse me.
The flames on this car are unbelievable. Yes. They look like real flames.
Oh, that's the one with the – yes, they do. That's the one.
Did that stump you there?
No, now I remember. There's a lot of – we have quite a few gazers.
We do.
This is the most recent one.
Yeah, the most recent one we have. We've got probably four or five or six gazers.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Corvette gazer. Mm-hmm. We have
a couple most Chevys.
Most of them are of the Chevy.
Now, is altered wheelbase the same as gazer? Uh-oh.
Crickets.
Steve Magnante would know that for sure. He was a big gazer guy.
Did you hear the crickets?
Yeah. I think it's different, actually. I think I looked it up for this car specifically. I think it's
And this is a streetable gasser, although
streetable. Yeah,
running down the highway with your nose that far in the air.
Some people like that, though. I mean, you know,
it's like trying to get a boat on plane, and it's like you can't see anything. You may be running into mm-hmm. buoys and mm-hmm. whoever, docks and whatever.
And for those who don't know, like me, what is a gasser?
A gasser is a small front wheel, large rear wheel.
Almost like a dragster.
It's almost like a dragster, but it sits at an angle facing up as opposed to level or facing down, which I'm not sure the purpose of that.
It's to do wheelies?
No, maybe? It's to transfer the weight to the rear wheels when you're
even more
taking,
so. Well, yeah.
Even more so when you're taking off. So
if you've got it like that, then obviously more weight's going to be on the rear wheels.
The rear axle, exactly.
Because the fronts don't really matter. I mean, just to maybe keep
you
know, a little bit in steering mm-hmm. and aiming and...
Yeah, and all the weight is on the front with the engine and everything. Mm-hmm. So if you can't the car backwards, it puts the weight down on the rear axles and keeps you planted during a run down the track. Yeah, this one's streetable, like you said. Yeah. This one's for the street.
377 cubic inch V8. This one's got a Doug Nash 5-speed manual, which is an interesting transmission for these. A lot of times you just see like 2-speed power glides mm-hmm. and drag cars. Power steering and brakes, but back to the flames.
Yeah.
Unbelievably well done. You know, you started, obviously the flames kind of started out in California when the hot rod movement started back in the 40s and late 40s after the war.
Mm-hmm.
And people started building cars and, you know, coming up with these cool ideas for things. And the gasser with flames was kind of one of the hot trends back in the day. And boy, this one is done nicely. I mean, the guy who did this, I don't know who it was, but he deserves a big round of applause, which I could probably
spattering of
things. Yeah.
a little late.
Yeah, well,
late and light.
Some of these guys, these airbrush guys, you know, they do 30 layers of paint.
Is.
They're amazing.
This isn't probably more than 30 layers. It's amazing. It looks like it's jumping right off the car.
Really, it's brilliantly done. And again, you don't have to be a fan of any of these particular type of cars that we talk about. You don't have to be a fan of a gasser or a hot rod, but you can certainly appreciate the work.
For sure.
You know, and when you come in here and see some of the level of detail that these guys went to with this, you think, who has the time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a lot to do and it's a lot of work to do these things. And it takes hours and hours and days. And it's amazing you see hot rods built that they say, you know, 2,000 hours, 5,000 hours. I mean, start doing the math on that. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe it's just made up. I don't know.
Well, they keep track of it, and you can't build it for what it costs, for what they're putting it on the floor for.
Very rarely would you find a car in here, a hot rod or a custom or a resto mod, that is selling for more than what it cost them to build.
Right.
They're all selling for less. And why do we say that? Well, because it's true, A. but B, it's because... Do it because you love it. Do it because it's what you've always dreamt of having. Do it because of the right reasons. Don't do it to try to make a profit.
Mm-hmm.
Do it knowing that more than likely you're not going to get all your money out of it when you resell it.
Right.
But did you get enjoyment out of doing it? Did you get pleasure out of using the vehicle once, you know, and showing it off to all your buddies and to car shows and all that? And if you answer yes to all those things, then don't worry about the money. Now, listen, if you're hurting for money, probably not a good time to build one of these. It's like going to the casino. If you're trying to make your rent money and you have 100 and yeah. rent's 300, mm-hmm. you probably don't want to go and start playing blackjack. Although Fred Smith from FedEx saved his company and made payroll because he went to Vegas and did like a 36-hour stunt at a blackjack table.
Really?
Because he was down to nothing. You know, they were down to no money. And somehow he did really well at the blackjack table and saved his company. And, you know, FedEx is probably, you know, pretty fairly successful.
Yeah,
today.
They're pretty well. Yeah.
And the
pretty
rest
well
now. Is history.
Interesting
pretty,
story.
Pretty well known. Yeah. So I'm full of inane, fascinating
facts.
We
can go over to Hollywood right now and try to.
Hey, we should sell that
double
story.
The profit.
Yeah.
Double the profit.
Exactly.
And we're reaching new listeners. So explain what a Restomod is.
A Restomod is basically a old car with all modern conveniences. So mm-hmm. you love the look of a 1971 Camaro. But you really want better than drum brakes. You really want better than bias ply tires. You really want better than the AM crackly radio. Although we love AM radio. Don't get me wrong.
So we do.
The AM the crackly ones. Radio.
But the HD2 is crystal clear.
Crystal clear. And modern suspension. And, very importantly, air conditioning. Because mm-hmm. a lot of these cars back in the day didn't have
often air. A modern drivetrain, fuel injected, supercharged, yeah. whatever. I mean, that
so
we just sold
easier.
That, that old Dodge.
Yes.
With the Hemi in it, modern Hemi in
modern
it.
Modern Hemi
awesome.
In it. Yeah, it's a pretty cool car.
Yep.
And it kind of had a patinaed look to it. A patina, for those of you who don't know, is wear that's cool. It's so, there's a fine line between patina and, a barnyard junker
right,
find.
For sure.
And it's just a matter of, usually patina means that it's discolored, but it's not rusted through or rotted mm-hmm. through. The leather is nicely worn. It's not torn and doesn't have holes in the stuffing coming out.
Right.
It's just got that nice, like a good pair of loafers. You
yep.
know,
yep.
for those of you don't
yeah.
know what loafers are,
well,
loafers are shoes that you put on that you don't have to tie, and they have a little penny you put in the front. But
that's right.
That's a whole other story. Here I go again. I'm not going
to
get
there
through.
There you go. Nope. 6 minutes to get through 16 cars. Go ahead.
Only 6 cars total, and we've already done 2.
Oh,
so.
Good.
How about the 2017 Mercedes-Benz E550 Coupe? Now, we talk about having daily drivers here, and daily drivers are right up this alley of this car. Is this car a fun car to drive? You bet. It's twin-turbo V8, 4.7 liter, 7G Tronic, 7-speed automatic. Mm. It's selenite gray metallic over porcelain and charcoal anthracite.
Beautiful interior.
Beautiful car. Mm-hmm. And it's got the sport package, 57,000 original miles. This car's got plenty of life left in it. You can drive it every day, and it's a blast to drive. And it's cool looking. So don't forget the Mercedes here as part of our new arrival. How about the 2014 Mustang Roush Stage 3 Illuminator Coupe?
Yes.
Is that like the Intimidator? Is that, the Illuminator? Deep impact blue metallic over charcoal black, 26,000 actual miles. 675 horsepower, 5-liter Illuminator V8, and it's got the Roush charger, which is basically a supercharger.
Mm-hmm.
One of about 60 built, and it window sticker is included on this one, which is kind of cool. And it's the kind of the king of the hill of 2013-2014. There was cars with more horsepower, but this thing was pretty high up there when it came to Mustangs for this era. What, it's only 5.8? Gosh. Say 2014 is only how many years ago? It's 10 years old.
10 years already, yep.
1980 was only 20 years ago, so I don't know how the math is working on this, but that ain't right. So
that ain't right.
Anyway, how about the 1921 Peugeot 161 Quadrilette?
Yes.
Dark moss green and black over black. It's lovingly restored, as they'd say in France. 667cc L-head four-cylinder. Got tons of original rebuilt parts, 3-speed manual. This thing was imported into the U.S. in 2009, and the consigner says he hopes the new owner enjoys the full completion of a never-ending job.
Yeah,
it's one of those ones that you'll always be tinkering with,
uh-huh.
and that's a plus. That's not right. A minus.
The funny thing about this car is when I was sent pictures of it to do the write-up, right. I thought it was a full-size. Like, right. like a Model A type. It's a tiny little
it's
car.
Very
it's
tiny.
Really cool. It's like
yeah.
almost like one of these micro cars
mm-hmm.
in a sense.
It's a micro car of its era, 1921. So, mm-hmm.
Tiny.
Interesting that back in 1921, I mean, the roads were fairly narrow to begin
mm-hmm.
with. So this was a little easier to drive. And I'm sure over in Europe, they were very narrow.
Yeah.
Much more narrow. Than,
for sure.
I mean, if you look at old roads from all, anything you see from that were built in pre-1950, They're even now, they're very narrow. Mm-hmm. So if you look at in France and Fiat, all their cars are very small. Even before the Econobox boom or fuel mileage was an issue, it was small not to get better gas mileage. It was small because it's the only space you had.
Streets are small, yeah.
And there are lots of people had cars over there, mm-hmm, too. I mean, mm-hmm. It was like everybody had a car.
Right.
But this one is really interesting. And if you have any affinity for French cars, classicautomall.com, you can see this and all the other cars that we're talking about. And last but not least, the 1977 Pinto cruising wagon. This thing is so cool. I am sorry. It is cool. This is medium gray metallic over black and red. It's got the groovy retro decals, 302 V8. Wasn't an original motor. It originally came with a V6, but somebody replaced it with a 302. I say no harm, no foul.
Right.
It's not a really collectible car, but it is. It's cool.
It needs,
you're disagreeing with
it needs
me.
A little restoration this
yeah,
time.
Yeah, it does. And it's got,
I mean, they're
I'm
cool.
Sure.
The whole retro look with the big stripes and the porthole.
I mean, if you can't find one in this condition or better, then stop looking.
Yeah.
Because if you anything less than this condition, you couldn't afford to restore. I mean, you'd be so far upside down. And I always say, do it because you like it and you love it. Mm-hmm. But don't do it stupidly. Don't go out and put $50,000 into a $10,000 car. With the best in the world, but this is cool, and I bet you somebody will take this and probably resto mod it.
That'd be good.
You know, as we talked about resto mods, we were talking earlier, I didn't really finish. So what you get with a resto mod is the cool old looks with all the modern conveniences and drivability. That's would be, this is a perfect candidate for that, because these aren't highly collectible yet. Could be in the future,
right?
But they're certainly not highly collectible now, but they have a very cool look to them with the porthole windows.
Yeah.
And if you want to do something really cool, this would be a car to start with, and you could put even a bigger motor in it and air conditioning and all the modern conveniences, and you've got the retro look with the, that's why the, I think the Dodge Charger or Challenger did so much better than the Camaro. The Challenger really had that retro look about it, and the Camaro was modernish retro, but it was, it didn't really, it didn't check the right boxes for whatever reason. The Challenger hit it all. When you saw that thing, it was like, whoa, this is really well done. And the Mustangs have always kind of had a retro look, so they nothing really changed for them.
Yeah, I saw a new one today on the road, 2024. Really, really interesting.
And then we just sold my favorite car that we got in, the Z06 in Carlisle Blue.
Oh, it's
or
sold.
Just took a deposit.
Oh, nice,
anyway.
Nice. Yeah,
sold as a, you know, could be, should have, could have, would have.
I knew it wouldn't last. There's not that many of them.
There's only, I think there was only...
There's 12.
12 of them.
12 of them,
yeah.
And 11 ZR1s in that color.
And it was actually built to commemorate Carlisle Events that does the Corvette Nationals.
That's
up
right.
Here.
Corvettes
so,
at Carlisle.
Yeah. How cool is that they actually did that for them?
And that concludes
the Classic Countdown.
Pay those singers.
I'm really not going to be able to keep a straight face if we keep running that. When we return,
that's
more,
the point.
More inane talk about inane things. We'll see you on the Classic Auto Mall show.
The Classic Auto Mall has more than 1,000 vehicles for consignment in our huge 8-acre climate-controlled showroom.
It's a real indoor mall.
If you'd like to know all the advantages of buying and selling a car through consignment, the information is available on our website, or you can talk to a classic car specialist who can answer all your questions. It's easy, safe, convenient, and it doesn't matter where you are, we sell worldwide. See our huge selection of classic and collectible vehicles at classicautomall.com.
This is the Classic Auto Mall Show. Listen on this station and wherever you get your podcasts, including Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Buzzsprout, Deezer, Listen Notes, Pandora, Player FM, Pocket Casts, Podcast Addict, Podcast Index, Podchaser, Spotify, and, of course, ClassicAutoMall.com.
Call J.C. Taylor today for a competitive quote on collector car insurance. Give your most prized possessions the attention that they deserve. You'll receive agreed value coverage, giving you the peace of mind to know you're always protected. J.C. Taylor has been supporting the hobby with reliable service that has lasted for 6 decades. Call 888-ANTIQUE or visit jctaylor.com/awr to get a quote today. That's 888-268-4783. Or visit jctaylor.com/awr. Drive through time with peace of mind. JC Taylor.
If you love classic cars, you're going to want to listen to the Classic Car Show with Tom Cox and Richard Lentinello on America's Web Radio. Live every Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern at americaswebradio.com. or on demand on your favorite podcast app.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Here we are. We got through our whole segment of new inventory, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
We're very cool like that.
What's next on the agenda?
What's next on the agenda? Well, we could talk about all kinds of fun things. How about...
Wait a minute.
What is that?
Okay.
Please stop.
Disco.
What's going on?
You know, we always talk about different and funny things about cars that no longer exist or the things that we like about certain cars, like different types of hood scoops. And JR brought up the other day talking about when was the last time you had the gutters or rain guards on cars? Because when you roll your window down, if you don't have those rain guards and gutters, then you're going to get wet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Remember?
The other day it poured and I rolled the window down and everything, the power window controls, everything's getting
wet. I know they're designed for that. Surely they are.
You want to go to the doctor? Doctor, it hurts when I do this.
Don't do that. But you know, people don't roll their windows down very often anymore. I used to roll them down. I'd crack them open because I smoked.
Okay.
And so if you didn't have the rain guard, that rain would pull in and maybe put your cigarette
out. Isn't it all about streamlining? I mean, maybe you researched it. I don't know, but I thought maybe it's because of the
They were about that big.
Could they rust it out eventually, too?
Well, unless they were plastic. They could have been metal or plastic. The Trans Ams and Camaros had them, but a lot of times people took them off.
Really?
Because it did distract from the look a little bit. So for whatever reason. It was one of those things that you don't think much about until you roll your window down and you're enjoying a smoke down the highway and water starts pouring in on you.
Between bars and smoking, I think we've lived two separate lives, which is pretty typical. You should show your bar tricks on camera. Another time.
Let's do that when I do the drinking game.
That's a good idea.
See, we'll do the bar tricks doing the drinking game. I can do the quarter thing. I can do the flip the coaster. The coaster thing and all that fun stuff. But back to the rain guards and gutters on the cars. I think a lot of them took them off, like I said, because people don't really take their window down anymore. But also the windows are more inset. So you do have a little bit of a canopy effect, maybe possibly on some of these cars. But like the Ford GTs, where they open all the way into the roof.
Yeah.
And boy, if you crack that open a little bit, water is just going to come pouring.
Right. Don't open your door if you have a Ford GT in the rain.
How do they keep all this rain from coming in? Side windows, sunroofs, and all that. I mean, they do a pretty good job of it. Does your convertible leak?
It does. I looked it up already. There's a 300 YouTube videos on how to fix the leak in a Z3. It's a pretty common problem, actually. Right. But convertibles and sunroofs. It's silicone. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit of silicone in the right place. And they didn't rain test them too much, I guess.
I guess they just, and you know, the other thing with those rain guards is go through a drive-thru without an awning. Why do they have drive-thrus without awnings? Most of them do.
Mm-hmm.
But every once in a while, you come to a drive-thru. Not that I eat that much drive-thru food.
No.
I try to avoid that. I try to eat healthy.
Good.
Although,
that's good. You know, no more smoking. No more drinking.
I quit the smoking.
No more bar hopping. A little bit of gambling.
Well, the others too.
All right.
I don't smoke vicariously through the guys who are sitting in the smoking section at the casino.
Good.
The Hollywood Casino, which is across the street from us, which is bizarre. How is it that casinos still allow smoking? I mean, not that I care either one way or another. I'm one of those people that quit smoking, and it doesn't bother me to be around it. Some people, once they quit smoking, they can't
Wait, they allow smoking over at Hollywood?
Yes.
Oh, they don't in Vegas. I think they
did. I don't know in Vegas.
But Atlantic City, I think they dropped it, too.
Yeah. You're
doing it here?
It's my father. My father was a blackjack dealer in Vegas for years, and that was his least favorite thing because they blow it right in his face.
Right. Yeah. And especially if you weren't giving him good cards.
Yeah, of course.
Did he love dealing blackjack?
No. Hated it.
But it was a good way to make
a car guy, so he was kind of out of his element, but he made more money than he'd ever seen. And there was a time when you weren't claiming your tips, so you could just pocket that money, essentially. And it was about $200 a night in cash. He'd never seen money like that before. This was talking late 70s, early 80s. Yeah. Then the government got involved. That was the end
and
of that.
Just ruined all the fun.
Thanks
a lot. But
still good money.
So how do they allow smoking in these casinos?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, because... try to smoke anywhere else. You'll go to smoke in prison.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just don't. There are no places. I don't even think bars you can smoke in anymore.
Really?
I mean,
not
aware
in PA.
It's true.
I think if there was some weird law that you could smoke in a bar if you and your family were the only employees. Like, you didn't have any outside employees from your immediate family.
I got you.
Like, what is the difference in that?
I don't know, but, you know, smoking in cars is an issue. Obviously, it wears on the glue, isn't that right?
Yeah,
old GM cars, yeah. If you smoke too much in it.
And do they even have ashtrays anymore?
No, but it's amazing as we write up some of these old cars. The ashtrays are everywhere. The back seat for the kids.
Like the Cadillac. For the Cadillac. I could literally smoke in the back seat. My parents had no idea because they were smoking in the front seat.
Oh, wow.
And there was no, you know.
You're sneaking it?
But not sneaking too hard. I mean, if my dad went like this, he would know.
That's funny, right.
But no, I could smoke and they wouldn't realize it because they're out there just puffing away and window.
Sure.
I don't think they even cracked the windows. Right. I at least cracked the window. I never smoked with my kids in the car.
Right.
Or in the house.
Right.
I always smoked outside in the garage and pacing around on the cell phone. And it was so funny when I quit smoking. I went out to pace and I was like, I didn't know what to do.
Oh, wow.
I was like, I'm on the phone. I'm talking to people. And
it's habitual. Yeah.
And it was so, what I found with smoking with me was that I wasn't addicted to the nicotine. I was addicted to this habit. I was addicted to lighting it up.
Me too.
And I had Accutherapy, which is basically they put a needle in each of your wrists and then one in your earlobe. And then they give you this thing to hold. Looks like a microphone.
Yeah.
And it's a metal ball. And they say, hold on to it. You don't want it because it's grounded. And they do this little buzzing thing in your ear. And I said, what if I let go? And he said, oh, don't do that. And he goes, I'm just kidding. And then they take out the two Accutherapies here, but they leave the one in your ear, like in your earlobe, or not in your lobe, but whatever part that is.
Sure.
And it's to fall out on its own. And it feels like it's that big. And it's like the size of a...
Oh, they're tiny.
It's just a teeny tiny little thing. But the guy, when I walked out of there, he said, I'll guarantee you this. You'll walk out of here a non-smoker. How long that lasts is up to you.
Mm-hmm.
That was 9 years ago.
Wow.
And I was convinced that I was going to be a smoker the rest of my life. Every time I tried to quit, Kathy would crack up. She'd find me at 3:30 in the afternoon on the couch in the fetal position, trying to just sleep or do anything to not think about it.
Right.
But then I got to thinking, I get on an airplane and I fly to the West Coast and it's 4 or 5 hours. I make it through that. How can I make it through that if I'm not? I mean, my dad would get up in the middle of the night and smoke.
Used to be smoking on airplanes.
Oh, yeah, there
that.
Was.
Old I, enough to remember that.
Yeah,
as well.
Smoking on airplanes
drifting
and drinking and playing. We were playing cards.
Sure.
And on the L-1011s.
I always thought the little side window, the vent window in a car, because we had Buicks, and I always thought that was for smoking.
No, that's to make it sound like a jet airplane when you. That, I think, was partially smoking, but it was like your built-in air conditioner.
It was more of a vent.
And some of them had a handle,
sure
and some of them just had a little clippy thing,
right.
And you pushed them open.
That's what I remember,
And they would get too far out, and then you lose your aerodynamicity.
Yeah, those are cool.
My wife's superpower, as she calls it, is smell.
Right.
And she says, I smoke these little, they're like cigarettes, but they're cigars, and you don't even inhale them, they're like pipe tobacco. And she says, don't you ever light one of those in my car.
Oh.
Right.
So I don't.
Oh, I've had rental cars. You're not supposed to smoke in rental cars.
Right.
But I've gotten in and they've done all the cleaning and everything. And I go, I can't drive with this.
And you know what you do if you're a smoker and you get in a rental car?
Yes.
You call the rental car company the minute you get in and say, this car smells like smoke.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I'll keep it.
Smart.
I'll keep it. But I just want you to know that it already smells like smoke. So that way I can smoke it.
Right. Before you get out of the parking lot.
I just want you to know. Very crafty.
They'll say, bring it back. No, I'm okay with it.
I'm okay. I'm not, I'll put the windows down.
I'll put up with it. But
it's Southern California. I can put the windows down.
I'd like to see a discount on my rental, but I'm just saying it smells like smoke.
So we rented Turo when we went to Colorado.
Right.
And that was kind of weird because it was somebody's personal car. And it's like an Airbnb.
But it's clean.
Cars.
I mean, there's nothing. Their belongings aren't in it.
Well, I don't know. Maybe
I'm going to Chicago in June, and I was looking at Turo, and you had a good experience?
Yes and no. So I like being able to go to Hertz and walk up to the counter and see my name already on the thing, and I go to lot 22B, and it's right there. And if there's a problem, they got 50 other cars. This was at a different parking place, a different place you had to go on a shuttle. You had to walk in kind of an inconvenient area. You had to take pictures of everything, send it to the guy. He had to give you a code to unlock the little, like a real estate lockbox under the seat. And then it had some kind of vaporization where it wouldn't recognize the key because these are all keyless cars. So in theory, you just hit the start button.
Right.
It should start. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. It was a lot of little bit of hoops to jump through, and I probably in the future would just go back to renting from a rental car company because if something, God forbid, were to go wrong, you're much better with the economy of scale when it comes to, you know, Hertz or Avis or somebody.
They'll come pick you up.
Than the one guy.
Yeah.
You know, who's, I'm in New Mexico this week. Sorry. You know, there's a lot more to it. And it's fine if everything is fine. It's when something's not fine that you have a problem. So, I would probably go back, and I like renting, you know, big cars when we go traveling, like a Suburban or something big that you can carry a lot of stuff in. And if you need to go do whatever you need to go do, you got, or take all the kids with you if they're there with us. And we used to go on our vacations in my Oldsmobile Silhouette, the Cadillac of minivans.
Oh, yes.
And,
Get Shorty.
That's movie. Right. Yeah. And we would take this car and it had it had a leaky head gasket. Uh-huh. And so it would blow white smoke out the tailpipe every once in a while.
Sure.
And nothing would happen when you put the gas down. And then all of a sudden it kind of fixed itself.
Yeah.
It was this transverse mounted V6. Uh-huh. So, that was our, our fun times in Colorado. Kids hated that van.
Yeah.
To drive it over the bridge going to home to our house, you had to put your foot on the brake and on the gas because if you let off the gas at all, it would die and it would never start. And nothing better than being dead on a 2-lane bridge.
That is a nightmare.
Oh, and everybody rushing to get home.
What a nightmare.
Yeah, they hated that car. Hated me for it, I think.
They still haven't lived it down.
Yeah. So nowadays they could come and we could have cooler cars to
for
take.
Sure.
So I took my wife's car in for service yesterday and she said, now whatever you do, I know you're thinking about trading this thing in on a white one and we have a black one. So my loaner car was the exact same thing that she drives in white. So I come pulling up and she's like,
you didn't.
Oh, you didn't do that. I love the black car. I'm like, no, this is the rental one. And it was the 6-cylinder, not the 8-cylinder like ours is. But still felt pretty good power wise.
They are.
You know, it was, I remember when Ford came out with the V6s and the F-150s and people were like, I'm never driving a pickup truck with a V6 in it.
Right.
And then like a lot of the dealers would say, go drive this new F-150 and see what you think. This is the V8. And it wasn't. It was the V6. Got to come back and go, man, that thing has got all the power in the world.
Yeah.
A guy with a Camaro was in front of me, and we both went into the Home Depot at the same time. I said, boy, that sounds healthy. He says, it's just a 6-cylinder. Yeah, I was like, wow. But it didn't sound like an overdone muffler.
Well, and it doesn't, I mean, those things, the Camaros, when they first came out with the V6s in them, in this newest generation of Camaros, we're over 300 horsepower, so that's not nothing.
No,
you know,
it's not. Now they're putting 4-cylinders in trucks and stuff.
Yeah, so. 4-cylinders in Camaros. I think we have a Hot Wheels Camaro here that's got a 4-cylinder in it. I'm pretty sure that it does. So when we return, more fascinating banter with the Classic Auto Mall Show. We'll see you in a couple minutes.
No matter what you think is a classic car, you'll probably find one at Classic Auto Mall. How about a two-owner 2003 Chevrolet Corvette Coupe with 5,105 actual miles? Like trucks? Maybe a 66 Chevrolet C10 Stepside with a 350 V8 and a TCI 700R4 automatic transmission, or a 1984 Chevy C10 short bed, chopped, shaved, louvered, and a nearly new 355 V8. How about true classics like a 1926 Pontiac Series 627-665. It's the first year Pontiac with multiple AACA awards. And let's not forget Mustangs, like a 67 hardtop, 3 owners, and a fully known history, or a 1998 Mustang Cobra convertible with 38,209 actual miles, one of just 343 built. So whatever floats your boat or opens your garage, with over 1,000 constantly changing vehicles, you'll probably find it at classicautomall.com.
Hey folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday 1 to 2, only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember folks, I'm not angry, I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show, only right here on America's Web Radio.
Since the 1960s, J.C. Taylor has been America's premier specialty insurance provider for classic cars, antique autos, modified, and custom vehicles. Our customers have trusted us to protect their prized possessions for more than 6 decades. For more information, or to receive a quote, contact our expert team today by calling 888-ANTIQUE or by visiting our website at jctaylor.com/awr. That's 888-268-4783. Or visit jctaylor.com/awr. Drive through time with peace of mind. J.C. Taylor.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Here we are. I'm trying to keep Steve awake here in the show with us because, you know, I'm talking about minivans. He's looking at me like I've lost my mind.
My wife had a Pontiac Transport Company car and a Chevy Venture.
Oh, nice.
We had a Nissan Quest with the television and VHS player. This is not long ago either. This is probably my kids, 20 years ago.
How about the Honda Odysseys with the built-in vacuum cleaner? And Dodge Caravans or whatever. Now they're called the Pacificas, which is a model that they made, Chrysler made a number of years ago,
station
wagon-ish, SUV-ish. Yeah. I bought Kathy one and she hated it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's the one that's called the Carnival now? Is it Kia? Apparently this thing is one of
the top end one has like the huge dash. And I was going to ask you, how much screen is too much screen in a car?
I don't know. I was looking at an SL Mercedes at the Mercedes store yesterday and it looks like a laptop.
Yeah.
Not big. It looks like an oversized iPad. Mm-hmm. It's like this big and this wide, and for those of you on the podcast, that's this much.
Yeah. Well, I think it's Tesla influence because they really started with the big screen.
They had a huge screen.
This looks like a computer screen.
We rented one, and it was like too much.
Yeah.
It took us a half hour to figure out how to change the radio.
When you rent a car, getting back to rental cars, you should sit in the parking lot and learn the car a little bit before you just go taking off and trying to do like I do. And how do you program this?
Yeah, right.
And I'm driving down the road. No, you take a few minutes because even with our cars that we have, the newer cars that we buy as our personal cars, I still don't know half the stuff on there. I'm like, I don't know.
Like HD radio.
HD radio or massaging seats or aromatherapy or whatever other. There's a thing in the glove box. It's like it's a glass canister.
Yeah.
And it's got some kind of smell stuff in
it.
And I don't.
Oh, in the rental car?
No, this is in the.
Really?
This one.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know
what
it is.
That's why a lot of rental cars are the fleet versions, which are sort of base model. They don't have a lot of bells and whistles and pretty standard placement of the windshield wipers and gear shifter and all that stuff. So,
well, nothing worse than that round knob in the center for your gear shifter.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's no reference point.
Right.
Yeah.
If you have a car and it's got a shifter right here, and I know where reverse is, I know where neutral is, I know where drive is.
Right.
Even on the column, I know where those things are. But when you start doing this and this and
pushing buttons
and, you know, putting the lime in the coconut and, I mean, it becomes where it's the worst is when you're backing out into traffic.
Yes.
And normally you back out and you know where to go and you're ready to go and you can go right into gear. And now you're like, oh, what the heck?
Well, when you have more than one car that you daily drive too, that you get in, I'm always reaching for the clutch in all my cars. I'm like, wait a minute, which car am I in?
You're right. Garage door opener, where's that? Where's the gear? The Mercedes has the gear shifter on the column, but it's not analog. It's digital. So
Really?
Yeah. So you push it up to go and drive and push it down. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It's
And I also noticed that there are like only three rental companies now because it's like National owns Dollar and Alamo and maybe not exactly, there's like only two or three companies now that have all these other
brands.
Welcome
to the United States.
Yeah. And Hertz just about went out of business. They filed for bankruptcy not that long ago during COVID, I guess. And then apparently on top of all that, they bought a bunch of Teslas and that seems to have backfired on them for some reason.
Right. I just remember during COVID that cars were really hard to get and the prices were crazy.
Crazy. And the only car I could get when I was going somewhere was a Nissan the tiny little thing with roll-up windows and non-power locks.
Right.
And talk about inconvenient. I mean, when you stop, you got to go to every door.
Old school.
How dare they do that to us? They have to go to every door.
And charge you a lot of money for it.
Another weird rental car story. We were in Michigan again to see my sister on 9/11, and they grounded all the airplanes, so we couldn't fly home. So we ended up, Southwest let us cancel our flight, get credits for it, and we kept the rental car and drove it back to Baltimore where we flew out of it. And it was amazing. Every road was packed with rental cars because they were all back.
Yeah, everybody was back. Where else are you going to go? And they probably normally don't like it when you don't return it to where you tell them you're going to return it because they've got an algorithm that goes, whoa, wait a minute. We needed that in here, and now it's not.
I just want to remind listeners on a side note here that Classic Auto Mall is open to the public, not to be a commercial or an infomercial, but I see people piling in here today. It's a beautiful day, and people are coming in to look at cars. It's open to the public. It's free admission.
Free admission. Complimentary, we like to
say. Complimentary.
Open Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, 9 to 5. Wednesday, 9 to 8. Saturdays, 9 to noon. Closed on Sunday.
And we're near Maple Shade Grade? Maple Acres? What's that buffet?
All right, so there's two places you're convoluting now. It's Maple Grove Drag Strip or Raceway, and it's the Shady Maple
Buffet.
That's right.
Or Buffet.
The world famous Shady Maples Buffet. where you can
no plural S on it. Shady Maple Buffet in Lancaster.
Yep.
And it's nearby. People come here because we don't really have food. We have candy machine and Coke machine, obviously. Yeah.
We don't have all the food groups. Yeah. So you have we're missing a few of the key.
Some restaurants around. Sometimes they'll ask the front desk, where's a good place to eat?
Well, the Heritage is great. It is. It's just right here. And then, of course, the casino has restaurants.
Yep.
And then there's every kind of fast food place you can imagine. And our buddy Antonio, the pizza place up the street, he has great pizza. And,
That's true.
And he's they have been doing this for years and years and years. And they work 7 days a week.
And as former Miss Pennsylvania and friend of the show says,
come visit us at Classic Auto Mall. See our website for hours and location.
Thank you, Alyssa.
Thank you, Alyssa. Where is Alyssa?
She'll be back. We just, you know, keep missing.
You know, the other thing we were going to talk about today, which I can still talk about because I have plenty of time, is different types of antennas.
Uh-huh.
Do you have a favorite antenna?
Do I have a favorite antenna?
Yeah.
I like the little shark antenna, little shark fin antenna.
I like the little stubby rubber ones that are about that tall. Or I like the ones that look like kind of the wing or whatever you call it on an airplane that sits on the back of the roof.
Oh, yeah. What is that called?
It's called something.
That's the shark fin, I think.
It is like the shark fin. I know what you mean by the...
Funny how they came up with putting antennas in windshields.
Right.
And it actually
that was
worked.
The worst.
But it worked to some degree.
So you had to replace it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I like, I mean, the all-time epic antenna is the pigtail early phone antennas from Los Angeles.
Right,
when we lived there. It was like, if you had it, you could go to Pep Boys and you could
buy one.
Buy a fake one.
And a fake phone.
And I put one on my Trans Am. And I was.
Then you could have a fake phone too. And
you could.
Hey,
meet
us down at the.
The pigtail was everything back in the day.
I lived in Florida when mobile phones became really big time. And I'll never forget, I called all my buddies standing in the ocean. I'm like, guess where I am? You know.
That's crazy.
And they were like, oh my God, that's so crazy. That was the big motor. Roll of brick phones with a little stubby antenna.
Right.
I don't know. My favorite antenna was on the cop cars, the one that went all the way.
The 102-inch whip.
Yeah, the whip.
Very cool.
And if you let that thing go, it would probably put it
They would have
out.
A clip on the rain gutter.
Yeah.
That
But I remember that back in the day when I would build cars on paper. So I'd build like a 1970 Camaro, and this is what I'd do in the engine and this. And the Hirschberg power antenna was one of the items I would always add to a car because none of them ever had it because I thought that was so cool.
Well,
antenna.
I thought the telescoping antenna was cool. They were hollow, but they would snap off in the car wash if you forgot to put it down. And then the first time I saw a power one was like, wow.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And if they come in here and they're still working, it's a bonus.
Oh, it's a bonus, bonus. How about what they used to give you at the Esso station, which was before Exxon? They would give you a Tiger. And that would fit over your antenna.
Oh.
So you would put it, it was like a tiger face, plastic, with a hole in the center, and you'd put it down over your antenna for some reason.
To advertise the gas station.
Yeah, but I don't know what was the rub to make people want to put it on.
Well, did you have the tiger tail out your gas tank?
No.
They gave you one of those that went around the filler, and you would have that on.
Well, the GTO had that.
Yeah. Because you had a tiger in your tank.
Right.
Yeah, that meant something. So, you know, that there's cars from the 50s and 60s that, with a spare tire in the trunk, had a tube that ran to the back exterior of the car and came out, and there was a nozzle, air filler nozzle, and you could fill your spare tire from the exterior of the car, not having to open the trunk.
Interesting.
Yeah, see, I'm full of
it. It reminds me of the time I was in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Fairfax and 3rd Street, Melrose. There's a gas station, and I had air shocks on my Trans Am because I had fat tires, and I had to lift it up. And I'm filling up the air, and there's a guy behind me, and I thought he was admiring my car, and he's standing there. I'm like, you know, and I think I'm cool filling up my air thing. Turns out he was waiting for the nozzle. He was waiting for the air.
Come on, buddy.
Right.
You're over there going, hey, how's my hair?
Check my car, you know, the air shocks.
Air shocks. And so, and they would eventually leak out and
you would have to
replace the air.
And tires.
And tires too. Oh my God. I'll tell you what I went through in my Trans Am was transmissions. AAMCO was my dad's biggest nightmare. And that and fuel. I would fill that car up every day at LB Richardson's Exxon station. And they would do the windows and clean it. But every day I got a tank of gas.
Wow.
My dad, this was 1978. It was 78.
What year was the car? 74?
It was a 75.
75.
Yeah.
See, 400?
Yeah, 400 automatic.
Four barrel.
Yeah. It was silver with all the graphics on it and the red interior, the red vinyl. And I had it painted charcoal gray before cars were charcoal gray. There was no manufacturer that had a charcoal gray car and left all the graphics off of it. No Trans Am, no Eagle, no nothing.
So you ruined it like I ruined my car.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was way cooler.
Right.
And chicks dug it. So,
did they?
Oh, yeah. And then I had the Alpine cassette player that easily took the cassette from your hand and lowered it in.
Oh, that's cool.
And then the ADS box speakers in the back with the little things that you could unscrew them and clip them and take them into. You can see all these things I'm doing, right?
What is that?
Well, if you're on podcast, see, there's the reason to go to YouTube.
Yeah, I did that in my Trans Am several times, but another story.
Yeah, the cool thing about that is it had the speaker wires came up to the speakers. So my buddy had some Bose 901s. You know what those were?
No.
Big.
I kept it stock.
No, but I was taking these to his place up in Johnson City, Tennessee, which is north of Knoxville where I grew up. And I go, my buddy Ralph's like, what if we disconnected those ADS speakers and plugged in his home 901s into the system? Oh.
That worked?
It was like, then you couldn't put anybody in the back seat.
That was pre-subwoofer days.
This would be really cool. But, well, back in the day, the cool cassette deck for a car was the Nakamichi.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a cool brand, and they were very expensive. They were like $800 when a Pioneer Super Tuner was $79.
Wow. Wow. I had no idea.
But I had all kinds of aftermarket
stuff. Oh, you were one of those,
I was one of those.
My friend has a 68 Charger, and I thought it was the coolest sounding car back in the day, and he had to have the loudest stereo. You could never hear the car, but he had the best stereo, and he had all kinds of stereo equipment. I didn't get it.
We had lots of, I had an Audi 100 LS that I drove. I told that story of before I'm going to Georgia. But anyway, me and my buddy had rigged up speakers all over this thing. We had speakers in the door and the dash and the rear.
Sense around.
Yeah. 8 tracks, you know, listening to bands like Legs Diamond and, Moxie and of course, Aerosmith and all the numbers.
Quadraphonic sound.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. I had an 89 Firebird and it was brand new, practically.
Right.
Another trip to Michigan. It literally, the transmission died in Pontiac, Michigan.
Right.
And we took it to the dealer across the street from the factory it was built, so the car went home to die.
Yeah.
Nice.
Fortunately, it was under warranty, but yeah.
My dad, I don't know how many transmissions I put in that Trans Am, probably 7 or 8 over the period of time that I owned it. And again, a tank of gas every day. And like I said, back then in 78, gas was probably 65 cents a gallon, and my gas bills were running $400 and $500 a month. My dad would just be furious. Like, what? And I go, but Dad, don't you want me to be safe? Don't you want me to be in the control? He didn't think that was so funny. Anyway, next week, we'll see you with a new show on the Classic Auto Mall show. That's just classicautomall.com. See you then.
You've been listening to the Classic Auto Mall show with your host, Stuart Howden. Executive producer Steve Saphir. Produced and engineered by yours truly, J.R. Russ. Available on ClassicAutoMall.com, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Music courtesy of the Pat Travers Band. For tour dates, contact, and stuff, visit PatTravers.com. Produced by Car Smarts Media. Copyright all rights reserved.
Stock number 4922 for sale by consignment at Classic Auto Mall is this rare Dale Earnhardt Special Edition 1994 Chevrolet Camaro Z28. There were only 6 of these Special Edition Camaros built in 1994, and the consignor states this is the only one with a 6-speed manual transmission, adding to its rarity. With less than 6,000 verified miles, it's still in showroom condition. The dashboard is signed both by Dale Jr. and Dale Sr., and photos of the signing are included. The 6 built were to commemorate Earnhardt's 6 championships up to that point. Classic Auto Mall has more than 1,000 cars for sale via consignment in our massive climate-controlled showroom in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. Easily search our inventory at ClassicAutoMall.com. Classic Auto Mall, a great place to buy or sell a car through consignment because it's safe, easy, and secure. Plus, we advertise, sell, and ship worldwide.
This is the Classic Auto Mall Show. Listen on this station and wherever you get your podcasts, including Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Buzzsprout, Deezer, Listen Notes, Pandora, Player FM, Pocket Casts, Podcast Addict, Podcast Index, Podchaser, Spotify, and, of course, ClassicAutoMall.com.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.